Welcome to our service tonight. We have just begun. God bless you. You may be seated. How many of you are already blessed tonight? Say a big amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I promise you I'm not going to take you through tonight. All right, praise God. But I really want to share something that is burning in my heart tonight to leave with you. Something that is going to help you grow. I want to speak for a little while tonight on the subject of the stirring of God. What happened when God began to stir our lives? Now, you and I know that when you don't stir something for too long, it settles down. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Hello, are you with me? You need to continue to stir. But what do we do when God began to stir something in our life? What do we do? How do we respond to that? How many of you can sense earnestly that God is stirring something of the Spirit in Solomon Porch? Say a big amen.
Amen.
The question today is, what do you do when God began to stir? First of all, you need to understand that throughout the entire Bible, God always deals with an individual by dealing first and foremost with the corporate body. I repeat again. Every time when God wants to deal with an individual, whether it's an individual person like yourself or an individual nation, He will deal first and foremost with a corporate body, a group of nation, or a group of people. In fact, we live in a world today that is so individualistic that we have come to a place that is totally unbiblical. The whole idea of the world today is me, I, mine. But as you look into the Bible, you begin to realize God's way is always they, them, together. When God wants to bless the world, God called a man, and out of the man, He formed a nation. How many of you know what I'm talking about? He called Abraham out. He stirred Abraham out of the nest of carnality and out of the nest of idolatry and told him with a prophetic word, I want you to get out of your country and then I want to make you a great nation. And out of that great nation, you are going to be a blessing to the nations of the world. And Jesus' idea of blessing the world is, I will build my church, my corporate body. And when the church is built, the world will hear the gospel in clarity, in power, and in dominion. Can you say a big amen? So every time when God wants to impact somebody individually, He very often impact and stir the corporate part of it. How many of you believe God is going to bless you? Say a big amen.
Amen.
Then you must begin to discern what God is stirring in the church. Stirring in the church. But very often we miss God completely. Because, you know, when we come to church, we forget about everybody else. It's me. It's not my time to be prayed for, so I'm going to just shut down and shut off completely, you know. Wait until my time to be prayed for. But I noticed tonight a lot of you were praying. Even though you're not being prayed for, God bless your heart. Can you see a big amen? That's why Pastor Dominic and myself, we sense such an unction of the Holy Spirit. What do you do when God began to stir? I sense, as I prophesy this morning, that God is stirring Solomon Porch again. God is stirring Solomon Porch to rise up to the next level. Now, just a point or two, if you will turn with me to 1 Samuel, I'm going to share with you what to do when God began to stir your church and your life again. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, you hear the story of one of the greatest matriarchs in the Bible called Hannah. The Bible tells us in chapter 1, in verse 4, and whenever the time came for Elkanah to make an offering, he would give portion to Peninnah, his wife, and all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah he would give a double portion, for he loved Hannah, although the Lord has closed her womb. And her rival also provoked her severely, make life difficult for her, and to make her miserable because the Lord had closed her womb. And so it was year after year that she went up to the house of the Lord, and that Lord that she provoked her, therefore she wept and did not eat. And Elkanah her husband said to her, Hannah, why are you weeping? Why are you crying? Why do you not eat? And why is your heart grieved? Am I not better to you than 10 sons? Of course, the answer is no. So Hannah arose after they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, and Eli the priest was sitting on the set at the doorpost of the tabernacle, and she was in bitterness of soul, and she prayed to the Lord, and she wept in anguish. What do you do, and how do you walk with God and work with God when God is stirring something powerful? We already know that if you are going to be individually blessed, we must seek the blessing of a church. Are you with me? Say a big amen. Here, there is a situation during the time of Hannah that the entire priesthood was in trouble. Eli, the high priest, was not doing a great job, a grand job. In fact, he was doing such a lousy job, he could not even discipline his own children. Now, we are not saying children have to be perfect, but his children were already the priests. All right, and the Bible says he did not discipline them, and worse than that, he allowed them to do the things that are totally unacceptable to God, and they did it right in the temple of God. How many of you can imagine what I'm saying? Say a big amen. So the entire priesthood, the entire spiritual life in the nation was in total disarray, and God was wanting to reform that nation. How many of you know God loved Israel? Can you say a big amen? So while God was trying to reform that nation, God picked a woman who was also in the need of stirring. It was out of Hannah's life that Samuel was born. And it was out of Samuel's ministry that the entire nation began to turn back again. How many of you know that? See a big amen. What do you do when God began to stir? Number one, you need to recognize that your frustration is God-given. You need to understand your frustration is God-given, because one of the first things that God will do in our life when He's stirring us is going to bring holy discontent. He's going to bring frustration. And Hannah was so frustrated. She has a great husband, and the husband was so good, give her a double portion of everything. And the husband even said, am I not better than all the children that you wanted? And of course, her answer is no. I want to have my own children. The issue is not you, honey. The issue is I'm a woman. I'm supposed to give birth. So here you find a woman in frustration. A woman who wants to fulfill her personal God-given destiny. Now, nowadays, a woman not having children is painful, but it's not a big deal to a lot of people. At least, you know, not spiritually. It may be a big deal physically. All right, it may be very painful physically. But during the time of the Old Testament, it is not only a social stigma if you don't have children, if you are married. It is also, if there is a spiritual indictment, it's as if you are living under a curse. And this woman refused to live under that curse. She said, God made me a woman. God gave me a womb. So I'm supposed to reach out and arrive at my level of destiny. Can you see a big hallelujah? And she was frustrated. No amount of love, no amount of concern, no amount of good gesture could meet that need. That's the first thing. God will create a holy dissatisfaction, discontent in our hearts. And this is happening in this camp. Can you see a big amen? And God will use the different speaker. God will use pastor to stretch you. And then you begin to realize, even your worship, you begin to realize you enjoy God's presence, but it is not satisfying, because to you, intimacy is great, but intimacy cannot replace fruitfulness. You want to be fruitful. Can you see a big hallelujah? I've been to a lot of churches that can worship through the night, but never see a soul saved. Very sad. This lady does not only want to enjoy the intimacy she has with her husband, a good husband, but to her is, I want children. That's the first thing. Recognize that holy discontent and that holy frustration in your heart. And if you have not felt it, I'm going to pray for you tonight before we are finished, that all of you are going to feel it. Can you see a big amen? The second thing that's going to happen is this. You are going to learn to pray prophetically. You're going to learn to pray prophetically. And I'm going to stop in a little while because we are just going to pray over you. You see, Hannah went and prayed to God, and she prayed. The Bible says she wept, and she prayed, and she wept, and she prayed again. Verse 12, she continued praying, you know. And verse 13, she spoke in her heart with her lips moving only. And then it just go on and on and on. But in verse 11, the Bible says, she prayed to the Lord and make a vow and say, if you will indeed look at my affliction, but will give your maidservant a male child, I will give him to the Lord all the days of my life, and no razor shall come upon his head. You see, she began by wanting to fulfill her God-given destiny. A woman gifted by God, blessed by God to give birth. But along the way, her prayer changes. Along the way, she said, all right, if you were to give me a son, I will give the son to you. You see the change? Along the way, instead of thinking about herself, she began to think about God. Instead of thinking about her career, she began to think about God's kingdom. Instead of thinking about how she felt, she began to think about how God feels. Instead of thinking about only her need, she began to think about God's need. God began to form and reform her prayer so that her prayer become in alignment with God's need. You see, she was looking for a son, but Israel, God wanted to have a prophet. God was looking for something else. She was looking for a son for her family. God is looking for a prophet for his family that is all over the earth. That's the second thing that is going to happen. God will begin to impress upon our hearts to pray according to his will. There's nothing wrong to pray for your agenda. There's nothing wrong at all. But if we are going to participate in the stirring of God so that God's will be done, then we must be ready to hear what God wants to do and change our prayer accordingly. Can you say a big amen? I am sure when Pastor Dom was prophesying over you, myself, some of you hear things that you wish you did not hear. All right? But if you were to be honest and take what we say and really pray about it, there is a very high likelihood. A reason why you prefer not to hear it is because it has nothing to do with you. It has all to do with God. Maybe God is speaking to you. And God is saying to you, you pray my prayer. You meet my need. You pray for my agenda to be fulfilled. Then I will bless the agenda that you personally have. The Bible says that when Samuel was born, she gave it to the Lord. And then in chapter 2, verse 21, God visited Hannah again. And she conceived and bore 3 sons and 2 daughters. God is a faithful God. Can you say a big amen? You give one, you get 5. Give one, you get 5. Wow. Wow, I'm glad it's not a law. But that's how God operates. God is faithful. The rise of prophetic prayer. Number 3, and I'll close here. You will begin to develop a familiarity with God's voice. Now in chapter 3, you notice now young Samuel was already in the temple. All right, in verse 4, the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, here I am. He ran to Samuel and said, here I am, for you call me. And he said, I did not call you, lie down again. And he went down and lie down. Verse 6, the Lord called him again, and then he went to Samuel, to Eli, and Eli said, I did not call you, go lie down. Verse 7, verse 8, the Lord called Samuel the third time. He arose and went to Eli, and God and said, here I am. And Eli perceived that the Lord has called the boy. Therefore, Eli said to Samuel, go and lie down. You begin to be familiar with God's voice. You know what is your greatest challenge today as a church and your personal life? The greatest challenge today is because you are too familiar with your own voice. Number one. Number two, you are too familiar with the voice of the system. When God spoke to Samuel, the first thing that Samuel did was he ran to Eli. He thought God sound exactly like Eli. He went back to the system. Eli was the high priest. As God began to train us to recognize his voice, we began to realize that his voice is distinctively different from our own voice. Can you see a big hallelujah? And the key here is this. What did Eli say to him? After three times, for three times Eli said, go and lie down. And he went to lie down. Say with me, lie down. The key to hearing God's voice very, very accurate is go lie down. Please don't lie down. Go and lie down. It's to relax. It's go to sleep. Don't sleep now, please. Go to sleep. Shut off your own thoughts. Shut off your own mind, you know. And just go and lie down in the presence of God. Some people are very worried, you know, whether they will hear God accurately or not. I want you to know the issue is never that. Because God is a great communicator. Can you see a big amen? When God wants to speak to you, He always makes sure you get it. The problem is, your ears is plucked up with too much of your own hearing. And the hearing of man and the hearing of the system. Are you ready to hear God speak in your life and in the church in a way that you have never been familiar before? Say a big amen. Are you ready to do something that God will ask Solomon Porch to do that Solomon Porch have never done before or never felt they can do before? Are you ready? Say a big amen. What if God suddenly speak to your pastor and he say, this is what we are going to do. Are you going to say, is there any reference? Or are you going to lie down and say, Lord, speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. You know, and God will make himself very, very clear to you. Hearing God's voice is the simplest thing in the entire world. Because it not only depends on your ability to hear, it basically depends on the ability of God to communicate. How many of you know what I'm talking about? If you have children, you understand what I mean. If you want your children to hear something, they may run like monkeys up and down the house. They get to hear what daddy and mommy say. How many of you know what I'm talking about? If you have to run around them, if you have to run after them all over the house, you do that. Because you have a message for them and you are good at that. So the issue is not God speaking to us. The issue is whether we are willing to just lie down. What does it signify? It signifies to me a stillness of the spirit. We just have to be still. Sometimes we struggle too much. We struggle too much. It symbolizes, number two, the cessation of our own physical effort. I'm trying to understand that is your effort. You know? I'm trying to size up the situation. That is your effort. But when you are asleep, there is a total cessation of all your effort. You are asleep. I encourage you tonight to trust God and get ready to lie down. How many of you are ready? Say a big amen. Stand up to your feet. We're going to pray for you. We're going to do something tonight. Pastor Dom and myself will just pray one prayer over you all, and that will be enough. Because it is not, the issue is not God, all right? The issue will be you. Are you ready? Okay? Now, this is what we're going to do. We're going to pray for you. We're going to pray that God will release the prophetic anointing upon your life. The Bible says a man cannot give what he does not have. And what he has, he receives it from God. So we can give you what we have, what God has endowed upon us. And our anointing, our spirit, and our strength, we will pray for you. Then after that, I'm going to ask you to do only one thing. Are you ready? Okay. Pastor Dom, can you come? We're going to pray for you first. Then after that, we're going to instruct you to do only one thing. Are you ready? Yes. I say, you understand? Let's pray for
them. All right, raise your hands to heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Spirit of God, descend on this place. Stir the hearts of every man and woman. Just as your spirit will come and stir the pool of Bethesda, right now stir the pool of their hearts. Cause right now such a stirring that there will be such a quickening of the Holy Spirit that men and women here in this place will discern the moment, the God moment for them to plunge in. And so, Lord, right now, let the voice of the Spirit come forth with clarity. Come forth in its volume. Come forth with its sharpness, so that men and women will know that it is you tonight. And so I thank you. And so, Lord, I release and I loose right now this stirring into their hearts in Jesus' name.
Father, right now, God, remove every fear, every uncertainty in the name of Jesus. Lord, let the spirit of every man and woman here be still in the name of Jesus. All right, open your eyes is what I want you to do. All right? At the count of three, you must listen to me, okay? If you don't listen to me, then you're fighting me, right? All right? You have to listen to me. You are now relaxed, okay? I am now holding the microphone. I'm God's man of power right now. Are you with me? Okay, I'm going to help you. At the count of three, you will turn to the person on your right. Don't do it now. Three. And then hold the person's hand. Okay? And then at the count of the next three, you'll begin to pray for that person. I don't want you to share any prayer requests, okay? To pray for that person. First thing you do is pray at the same time, both of you. Okay? But please don't shout and scream. Now your thinking will be, what am I supposed to pray? Don't worry, okay? Just remember, when I say three, go, you begin to pray. What if I say something wrong? No, you will not say something wrong. I believe you are full of the Holy Ghost. You will say all the right things. How many of you are full of the Holy Ghost? Say a big amen. So cease striving. Alright? Are you ready? One, two, three. Turn to the person on the right. Okay? The person on the right. And look the person. Yeah. Person on the right. Okay, never mind. Touch their back, never mind. Okay, it's alright. Okay, everybody, ready? Okay, are you ready? Now when you pray after, now I want you to lean forward a little bit, right to their ear, so that when you pray, they can hear. Go nearer. Go near to their ears. Go near to their ears so that they can hear. Ready? Please don't burst their eardrums. Don't say anything. Just pray, okay? Ready? Now, I want you to pray loud and clear. Don't need to shout. Ready? Are you now at rest? Yes or no? You don't sound like it. Are you now at rest? Some of you are looking so strange, trying very hard. You're screening your eyes, except your eyeball is going to pop up. Stop doing that. Relax. Turn to your neighbor and say, relax. Ready? Okay, ready? One. Why are you looking at me? Look at the person's ear. Just listen. One, two, go. Hey, stop, 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 stop. I want you to pray strong, loud, not shouting, loud, strong, and near to their ears. I want them to hear. Okay, ready? One, two, go. All right, stop. Everybody look at me now. You are very good, man. You are really... Don't sit down. I didn't ask you to sit down. Okay. How many of you were praying something, you know, without thinking? You just come up. You just pray as you felt. Put up your hands. Up as high as you can. Very, very good. You were not thinking right. You didn't ask a prayer request right. Okay. Come down. Now, I know this is going to be a bit difficult for now. How many of you heard the person praying for you something that is very, very important, that is very, very prophetic in that sense of the word? It's like if the person is praying about something in your life. Put out your hands. Put out your hands. I know you can't hear, but let's... No. I am the one in charge now. Can you look at me, please? Come on. I'm teaching you to be still, okay? I repeat again. How many of you
hear the person behind you praying about something that is very significant in your life. Put up your hands.
Okay. All right, there's a few of you. Now, this is what I want you to do next. Okay? Are you still relaxed? Turn around face to face. Just meet a partner. You and somebody else. Choose a partner. I just ask you to choose a partner, not to talk. All right? Are you ready? Everybody got a partner? You don't have a partner, put up your hands. We'll find you a partner. Is a brother here? Okay. Okay. Everybody listen. This is going to be very, very impactful. Are you ready? Okay. Now listen carefully. Decide right now who is going to pray first. I bind the confusion. It's so easy. Just decide. Okay. All right. Have you all decided? Have you all decided, everybody? Ready? You got odd number, find a partner. Just slip up your hands if you don't have a partner. Okay. Are you still relaxed? Turn to your partner and say, go to sleep. Alright, okay. Alright, ready? Everybody look at me now. You got your partner? Alright? Okay, now look at your partner. Smile at your partner. Okay? The next thing you say to your partner is this: don't get religious on me. Okay, okay, okay. Are you ready? Now, why don't put your hands on each other yet? Okay, are you ready? One. All right. Then. Now, when I count to three, the person who is going to pray will put their hands on the partner, okay? And then you're going to pray. You're going to pray. You're not supposed to ask for any prayer requests. I want you to begin to pray as you feel. Now, if you can't feel anything, it's impossible. All right? There was a time in which I had done some of the exercise. Somebody said, I can't feel anything. I said, that is a feeling. Tell God, God, I can't feel anything. I'll tell you why afterwards. Are you ready? I am sure you can talk without thinking, right? Most people get into trouble because they talk without thinking. Now, you are now in the presence of God. Are you ready? Okay, look at your partner. One. Got your partners? Ready? Put down your hands. I didn't say go. Listen to instructions. Put down your hands. Ready? One, two, go. Hey, stop, 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 stop. I hear words like father. Oh, very religious. No, no. I don't want to. I don't want heavenly father. No, 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 no. I want you to just say, you know, the moment I say go, just pray. Without using the word father. Just say, I pray. No, no, no. Don't want to use that word father, okay? I'm trying to remove all this religiosity out of you now. Ready? One. Two. Go. All right, stop everybody. Stop. Stop. Okay, how many of you who received those prayers felt that those prayers were very significant? It is addressing certain part of your life. Put up your hands. Now, put up your hand high. High. Now, turn to your neighbor and say, so easy, lah. I told you so, okay? All right, everybody look at me. Everybody look at me. That's why I say, spirit-filled people, we always underestimate ourselves because we are so used to listening to a certain system. All right? I'm just asking you, shift channel. That's all. Go to sleep. Tell all your striving to go to sleep. Okay? That's all. Now, The next thing I want, now some people will take a little bit more time. Very often, it's not because we don't have revelation to pray, simply because sometimes we don't have the language, you know. And some people, they hit around the bush. Instead of saying, I want to give you a burger, they say, I want to give you bread that have meat and then some onions. You know, then at last you say, oh, it's the burger. And because you can say it's a burger, Pastor Ong says, stop. You know, how many of you know what I'm talking about? All right, get ready, the other person. 1 or 2 minutes and we will go. Are you ready? Now put out your hands. I didn't ask you to hold hands. There's a lot of guys holding hands here. Very good. All right. Everybody look here. Now you notice I'm making you laugh, right? Right. In the traditional spirit field, most people, they say, oh, you are grieving the Holy Spirit. I want you to know the Holy Spirit is sensitive. He's not immature. All right. Okay. He knows we're all trying to relax here. So don't be spooky about it, okay? No praying in tongues now, because your partner needs to hear what you're saying. All right? Are you ready? Ready? The other person. Now, I want you to be loud and clear, because one of the first things your body will react when you are moving to something new is to become softer. All right? Fear will cause your voice to be softer. So I want you to be loud. Don't need to shout. Are you ready? One, two, go. Stronger, stronger, stronger. All right, stop. 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 Everybody look up here. Listen to instructions, because everything I say will have a reason, okay? It's what activation is all about. How many of you wish that I allowed you to continue? Gone is the myth. I come to church, I don't know what to say. Huh? Usually go out there, we talk a lot. Now when come to church, I pray. Oh yeah, I don't know how to pray, don't know what to pray, don't know what to say. Now you are telling Pastor Ong, give me more time, I want to talk longer. Ah, go to sleep. Are you ready? Now the person who received the prayer, how many of you were blessed and that prayer was addressing some areas of your life and it's very impactful? Put up your hands. Hi. Wave at me. Give a Lord a great hand. Okay. Now turn to your neighbor. Turn to your neighbor and say, so easy. And now listen to me now. Listen to me now. This is important. And then we will close, all right? Okay. Now, what I have done is just simply give you a taste of how God sounds like and feel like for you. You understand now? So in the future, when you receive revelation and thoughts, if it feels that way, because right now when you feel this way and you begin to pray, and then it's confirmed that it's a blessing. So in the future, if you receive words and thoughts and you feel this way, then you can flow. All right? But if you receive words and thoughts and it causes you to feel otherwise, then you really have to check it out. Because that's one of the most powerful keys in prophetic ministry. You know how God sounds like to you. Alright? God sounds to me differently than God sounds to you. You understand what I'm saying or not? Okay? Alright. Now, this is just basic prophetic prayer. Now, I want you to imagine for a little while in your house, a house church, and then you begin to pray for one another, and then you begin to minister to people. And pray prophetically according to what God has put in your heart. Number one, you'll find that you will pray specifically to the needs of people. Number two, you'll be praying God's will be done. You're praying it to be done. Now that person may say, you know, I want to eat right now. You could be led by the Lord to pray that the person will have a desire to fast. How many of you know what I'm talking about? That person may desire, maybe pray for me so that I get a job, you know. I want to stay and get a job. But the Lord may just lead you to pray that the person leave his present job and go full time to Mongolia. It's possible, isn't it? It's possible, isn't it? Okay, because God knows. Now, you also need to realize this is the simplest, this is the basic prophetic prayer. Okay, now as you continue to pray for each other prophetically, you are actually operating in a few gifts: word of knowledge, word of wisdom, prophesying. And then later on, as you begin to develop, you can begin to prophesy over people. But it is very important to realize that irrespective of how accurate you are, how good and anointed you are, that does not make you a prophet. You understand? That's another story, another time, you know. So basically, if you continue to do that, you will become more familiarized with God's voice and how He sounds to you. Sometimes I'm the same. I begin to pray, then I begin to realize that it doesn't sound like God to me, you know. Not because it's wrong, not because it's unbiblical, but I have to be very honest to say it is not prophetic. It is just good, powerful praying. But if you do that continually, you'll be ministering to the needs of people. Before you know it, you'll be praying for issues in people's life. All right? Before you know it, you'll be praying healing and deliverance and blessing in people's life. Before you know it, the whole church will be full of power and revelation, you know. It will change your house church. It will change your service. Of course, the understatement should be we must be born again. We must be Christians, you know. And then we must walk with God. Are you with me? I'm assuming tonight that you are a Christian. I'm assuming tonight, you know, you are born again, you know. Are you with me? All right. One final one, and then I'm going to ask your pastor to take over. Are you ready? Okay. Just ask your partner, okay? Better not. Okay. Now, just one question. Ask your partner whether he's working or whether she's a housewife. Just be clear, all right? If you're not sure, if you know, don't ask. Okay? I just ask you to ask, not to write and talk. All right? Okay. You all know what your partner is doing, right? Okay? All right? Okay, I'll change it, make it easier for you. The next thing you're going to pray, the final thing tonight, and we'll all go to our room and physically go to sleep, is this: you are going to pray for your partner's spiritual life. Okay? But I don't want you to begin by saying, you know, Father, I pray that he will learn to read the Bible a lot. That's not what I'm saying. Okay? But if the Lord so lead you to do that, go ahead. All right? But do not be afraid to pray whatever comes to you spontaneously. Are you with me? What if I am wrong? If you are wrong, just apologize afterwards. It's very simple. But the question is, what if you are right? Are you with me? I have been wrong before. Pastor Don will tell you his own horror story, you know. When I miss it not by inches, but by kilometers. All right? I believe you want to die in a great way, you know. So there is no fear. Are you with me? All right? Now, are you ready? Decide who is going to pray first. Remember, I want it to be loud and clear. Ready? One. I'm going to give you less than half of a minute to pray. Ready? One. Don't look at me. Look at your partner. Two. Begin. All right, stop. Everybody stop. Okay. Those of you who are receiving a prayer, If you have felt that they are actually describing or saying something and praying something that is relevant to your spiritual walk with God today, beside those religious prayer, but it's really relevant, it really touched your heart, it is prophetic, it cuts through, it releases a power or an anointing, a revelation, put up your hands right now. Up your hand, hi. We don't need Benny Hinn anymore. Give a Lord a great hand. Come on, give a Lord a great hand. Okay, turn to your neighbor and say, so easy. Okay. All right, the other person now, another half a minute. Ready? But you guys are getting softer on me. I want you to project your faith by speaking a bit louder. Ready? One. Two. Go. Louder. Continue. All right, stop everybody. Everybody look at me. Those of you who receive prayer, you are ministered by that prayer. It's relevant to you. It's powerful to you. Put up your hands right now. Hi. Come on, give a Lord a great hand. Hallelujah. Okay. Turn to your neighbor and say, it is so easy. Okay, and before you go tonight, all right, before you go tonight, Pastor Dom and his team will be able to help you even more in the days to come. All right, before you go tonight, turn to your neighbor and say, sorry, if I'm wrong. Amen. Father, I thank you, Lord, for all that you have begun tonight. From the very beginning to the end, Lord, I pray, oh God, that as they have tasted a glimpse, oh God, and seen a glimpse of how you speak, and tasted a glimpse, oh God, of your presence and your glory working through your lives, I pray, oh God, that you begin to activate that gift, oh God, within them. Activate your voice within them. I pray that every preoccupation with the words of man and the words of the system be broken in the name of Jesus. But I also pray the spirit of wisdom, oh God, will come upon them. The spirit of submission and humility will also come upon them, oh God. And the spirit of unity with you, oh God, and with the church, oh God, will come upon them. Lord, we thank you for a wonderful, glorious stirring of the Holy Ghost 9. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Give the Lord a great praise.
Amen. So, real quick, Pastor Ong is actually leaving early tomorrow morning. He needs to go back, and he's got a lot of business to take care of. As a general soup. And so, Pastor Ong, can we pray for you? Just come, can we pray for you? We'll say thank you. We just first met, and I know Pastor Ong, we talk about him all the time. Oh, thank you. And so what incredible. I really enjoy the messages. And I know that actually tonight, because I saw your sermon notes, right, that was meant to be a 9-point message.
That's right.
Right? So we only got 3 of them. Right, so well, I'll ask you something later on. I don't want to do it, you know, because then if I say now, you have to say yes. So, but we'll do it. But we just so appreciate Pastor Ong and his ministry to us. And so, can we stretch out our hands? And he's got to go back to Malaysia, his church, and all of his duties as a general soup for the AG. And so, we just really appreciate you coming out here with us. And so, let's pray for him. Safe travels back to KL and the ministry and whatnot. Let's just all raise our voices and let's bless the man of God. Huh? Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for man of God, Lord. We thank you for the words, God, that he shared with us, Lord, the messages, his ministry. Lord, we ask, God, as he goes back to his church and to his ministry in Malaysia, that you would continue to bless him, God. Lord, we are saddened, God, by the news of his church being burnt down, but Lord, we also see your hand in it, God, and we know there'll be many obstacles, God. There are many enemies of God, Lord, in Malaysia, and we pray, God, that you would use Pastor Ong and his church, God, to be that standard, Lord, to be that place, God, where your glory falls, Lord, no matter who comes, Father. God, no matter what obstacles come their way, Lord, that whatever, God, the enemy calls for evil, God, that you will turn to good. Use him, God. Use him in his responsibilities as church, responsibilities in his home, God, responsibilities in his denomination. We thank you. We receive the words, Lord God, and we ask you to seal those in our hearts, God. And we thank you for him, Lord. Bless him as he travels back to KL, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 You know, honestly, one of the things, like, as a value, as a church, you know, there's this kind of, and I shared a little bit here and there, there's really, unfortunately, there's this kind of attitude that's creeping up in the church, this minor Christian celebrity. You know, like, the speaker comes, and then he's up on stage, and he does his whole thing, and then he takes off. You know, he's got to be ushered out. That's just such crap, man. You know, I get so, you know, I've been to meetings and we get these superstar guys from all over the world and they sell all these books, you know, and they preach and then they're done. I'm like, all right, I'm done, you know. I'm like, are you kidding me, man? You know, I thought you were a servant of God, right? But it's so sad to see, and I'm so thankful for Pastor Ong and for Pastor Dom. I just sprung that on them today. Hey, can you pray for all of our families? You know, and they're like, oh, yeah, sure, you know. And every once in a while I went over and said, hey, are you guys okay? And he goes, yeah. Where's give me more families, you know? I love that. I mean, that's like, I mean, just as simply put, I think that's what Jesus would do if he was here. You know, he wouldn't say, you know, like, oh, I gotta go sell more books, or, you know what I mean? Like, oh, you gotta fly me first class to come here and stuff. I don't think Jesus does stuff like that, you know? And then being ministry, oh, okay, I'm done. What do you mean you're done? Right? I mean, what are you doing here? You're supposed to be a servant of God. And so I'll just say, take advantage. We're not going to kill you, P-Dom. Pastor Ong says, kill him next few days, right? Because he's going to go solo. We're not going to... Yeah. Yeah. Well, Pastor Ong, the night's not really over yet, if you want to... No, we bless you. We bless you with rest. And things, right? So we're so appreciative, and make sure when you get a chance during lunches or dinner, stop by, say hello, you know, share kind of what's going on. Maybe they shared a prayer with you, and you know, it encourages them. Yeah, you know, I know, and it encourages the body as well. It's almost 11 o'clock, but you guys look quite ready to go and young, and everything. You know, all the old parents are gone, right? So they went to sleep. No, they're still here. Hey, what's up? Just kidding. See, when you're gone, I say these things behind your back, but you know. And when the singles are gone, we say different things, so it all works out. But, you know, kind of in line with what he shared today, if you want, I mean, you don't have to, but if you want, it'd be nice of you guys to go into your house church and just pray for a few people. Maybe you know there's particularly a few people that really, really need something from the Lord tonight. You know, and so can you just do that? This has always been a vision of ours that we would constantly operate in this way, especially in our house churches. And so if you want, if it's late, it's okay. You're dismissed to go. We understand, right? You can get rest. You're not unspiritual or anything like that or immature. But if you want to stick around in your house churches, and just don't pray for everyone, okay, because tomorrow morning we have service as well. But pray for a few people that say, yeah, I'd really like to receive prayer, or I feel like something... You know, God's stirring something with me. Can we just do that as a house church? And you can make room, you know, everywhere. If you go outside of this room or out to, like, you got to be a little quiet, okay? And things, you can't be too loud. Or especially if you just stay on this side of the stairwell. Just stay on this side is okay, because the other side is all the the rooms. All right, so if you want to do that, you're more than welcome to do that. If you want to go to sleep, you're more than welcome to go to sleep. Well, house church leaders, I'll let you guys decide, and house churches. But if you want to, it'd be a great time to cap the evening off and for you guys to minister to one another. Amen? All right, good night. Have a great prayer time and sleep.